of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. By their fruits you shall know them. If we think about in biblical times, the types of prophets who typically came to God's people were, of course, live human beings. They were prophets and spokesmen and religious teachers and so on. And if we think about today's world, why we still see prophets come to us in this way, that is, as actual human beings. But I think it's also good to keep in mind that in our day and age, when we have the rise of mass media, well, that's been around for quite a while now, the printing press and so on, there's another way in which false prophets or prophets in general typically appear, and that's really probably the one that's more common to us, and that's in the form of philosophies, of worldviews, of points of view that come about. And so I just wanted to share a few thoughts with you this morning about false prophets coming to God's people. I think one of the clearest examples of a false prophet that comes to us today is the false prophet of moral relativism. Now, moral relativism, as you probably know, is the idea that truth is relative, truth, capital T. Truth is relative. There is no such thing as absolute truth, but rather truth depends on each individual. What may be true for me may not be true for you. That's the idea behind moral relativism. Now, there is a way of looking at moral relativism from the standpoint of logic that in my mind would show that moral relativism is completely illogical. It actually violates this tenet called the law of non-contradiction. But I'm not going to get into all, try to talk about that this morning. I just want to say that it seems clear to me, clear from a biblical Christian standpoint, that this idea of moral relativism, that is, there is no absolute truth. Everything depends on, what I feel and what I think. There is no question in my mind that this moral relativism is a false prophet. Let's think for a minute. Jesus said that, by their fruits you shall know them. In other words, we would be able to see or tell about the truth of false prophecy by looking at the results. Let's think for just a second about the fruit of moral relativism. I think we can see this, to me, quite clearly in the riots and the looting, the mayhem that has gone on in London and parts of England this past week or recently. Because you see, if there is no absolute truth, if there is no absolute right and wrong, then whatever someone can get away with is perfectly okay, perfectly fine. And many commentators looking at that situation, which has happened in England and London here recently with the riots and the mayhem, the stealing and so on, have pointed out that so many of the young people involved in these riots and in this thievery have been brought up solidly with the values of moral relativism and political correctness. They've been brought up to believe that there are no absolute values of right and wrong. They've not been taught, at least this is what some of the commentators I've read have said. And they apparently don't have any fear of consequences, of what could happen as a result of their behavior because of this idea of moral relativism and its cousin, political correctness, which just seems to be endemic and has pretty much taken over modern British society. So that's one kind of false prophet that I think we very much need to be on our guard against, moral relativism. Let me give you an example of a second kind of false prophet that I believe has risen up for God's people in our day and age. And this is the idea that biblical Orthodox Christianity is old-fashioned and outdated and no longer relevant or appropriate for our world or our society. Now, I think behind this false prophet that biblical Christianity, Orthodox Christianity, is old-fashioned and outdated, behind that idea is a kind of a related idea, which is the idea of progress and enlightenment. It's the idea that our society and the people of our time are more enlightened and advanced than people of previous generations. This passage that we heard as our gospel passage, a very tiny little passage, as you know, that was our gospel reading this morning. But this passage, by the way, I was looking at some of the more recent lectionaries, and I noticed that this passage is gone. It's no longer being read, and I think that's very telling. It's no longer read as a Sunday gospel. But this passage in which Jesus warns against false prophets, of course, comes near the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. You know, we've been reading a number of passages from the Sermon on the Mount here recently following our prayer book lectionary. And I think it's very interesting what Jesus says at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount. He says this, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." You see, a lot of what Jesus is talking about towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount are his own teachings, his own words, and how people will react to them, and how the people are going to come along later, in this case of this particular passage, and going to come in and pretend to be prophets, pretend to be teachers of Jesus and of his teachings, but really are not. So the question is, where do we go to hear the words and the teachings of Jesus Christ today? Well, we have, of course, the four Gospels, which have the specific recorded words of Christ. But I want to submit to you that those are not the only place in which we have the words and the teachings of Jesus. Rather, the words and the teachings of Jesus are really found throughout the New Testament. And we find them in the teachings of Paul, and of Peter, and of John, in the Acts of the Apostles. We find them in the Epistles. And I would say to you as well that we also find the teachings of Jesus in, guess what, the Old Testament. Because you see, the same God who is Jesus and who has spoken in Jesus is also the God who is in and who speaks in the Old Testament, as well as the rest of the New Testament. And so I would say that when we're thinking about the words and the teachings of Jesus, we need to look at the entire Bible, the Bible in its entirety, to know what are the words of Jesus and to know what are the teachings of Christ. We can't just look at the Gospels, and particularly at just a little subset of the Gospels. And I say this to you because one of the problems, I think, in so many churches today, particularly churches that are caught up in theological liberalism, is that they take those words and teachings of Christ, and really often only a subset of the words and teachings of Christ, the ones they find most palatable and agreeable, according to them, these are the only teachings of Jesus. And so the teachings of the rest of the New Testament are ignored. The teachings of the Old Testament are ignored. The teachings of Paul and John and Peter, apostles and men specifically picked by Jesus himself and mentored and discipled, are ignored. And so whether it's the teachings regarding divorce or hell or sexuality or leadership in the church or the way the church is to be constituted, or the way the family is to be constituted, the way society is to be constituted. These words and teachings are ignored. And instead we're told that, oh no, really the teachings of Jesus are all about love. That's really what Jesus is all about. It's all about love. Of course, Jesus is all about love, but it's not just those subset of words. I would say to you that this is another example of false prophets and false teaching, which Jesus warned against, the Apostle John warned against. There are a number of books of the New Testament that specifically warn us that false teachers are going to come along and they're going to teach God's people things which are false. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. By their fruits you shall know them. When we look at the devastation that has been caused by so many of these false prophets, like moral relativism, I think we can really begin to understand and to see and to appreciate the truth of Jesus' words about inside, inwardly, these false prophets are ravening wolves. Just look at what theological liberalism, for example, has done to so many of our churches and seminaries and once great colleges and universities. And I would submit that we see other effects like families broken, churches emptied out, colleges and universities once great, no longer so. We see countries and nations that were once Christian nations, at least to some extent, no longer so. And while I wouldn't say that's totally the result of this thing called theological liberalism, it does play a huge part. They come to you in sheep's clothing. Looks good on the outside, harmless, meek, kind, gentle, sweet, looks great. Sheep inside, ravening wolves. Jesus warns us that this was going to happen. As I mentioned, many of the New Testament letters specifically talk about that false teachers would come along. I'm telling you this because we shouldn't be surprised. You know, we look around and we see, at least from my standpoint, we see many great churches that have been really kind of destroyed by this false teaching. And we wonder, how could this happen? How could God allow this to happen? We were warned it was going to happen. Satan himself was a false teacher who came into the Garden of Eden with false teaching. And so false teaching and false prophets are really always a danger for God's people. And so we have to be on our guard against false prophets and false teachings. I've only given you a couple of examples. I mean, there are others. Time doesn't permit talking about all of these this morning, but there are so many examples of this. We need to be on our guard against false teachings and false prophets. We are, my goodness, bombarded with so many things today through the internet, through television, through media, through, you know, opinions everywhere. How do we know what is true and what is false? How do we know what we should believe and what we shouldn't? Well, I think the only way we can do this is if we know our Bible, if we know Holy Scripture and practice it. And I think we have to look at those who are teaching and see how they practice it. Jesus says, by their fruits you shall know them. In other words, we can use common sense is one way I think we can understand that. We can look in a common sense kind of way at what people are doing and from that ascertain whether or not they're false prophets. There's a danger for God's people of sort of shutting our minds down and maybe being so bewitched by someone who's a really articulate, maybe handsome, attractive kind of teacher that we can really be caught up and fooled. And so the only way we can know and be on guard against this is by being grounded in God's Word, being structured and letting God's Word and really knowing God's Word, which of course, most particularly, we know from the Scriptures. So I want to encourage each one of us to be grounded in God's Word, to take the time to read our Bibles, to take the time to read more of our Bibles, to know more of the truth that is taught by God in Holy Scripture. Because the teachings of Jesus, as I mentioned, are not simply those found in the Gospels, but throughout the entire New Testament as well as the Old, we must look and see what God's truth is, and to beware for these false prophets, which again look so wonderful, so beautiful, so harmless, and yet inside, the truth of it is extremely devastating. May God give us the spirit of discernment, give us a spirit of wisdom that grows out of being grounded in His Word and in His teachings, and may we go forth in His most holy name this day and forevermore. Amen.